April 28th, 2021. If you can kneel, please kneel. Going to begin. Father, thank you again for giving us this opportunity to know you and serve you a bit more. Thank you for blessing us with your Holy Bible, which guides us in every way in life. Father, we ask for your protection so that we would never believe that lie, that your Bible can't guide us, or that somehow we can't understand your word, because only you can guide us, and you've given us everything we need to know contained in the pages of your holy word. So please bless us to grow in faith and to grow in trust. We pray, Father, that we simply pray that you would open our hearts and minds to truth, and that our opinions would never guide us. Father, please bless us that your truth would be spoken and heard today, and please keep our minds focused, because there is nothing more important than our relationships with you, and there's nothing more important than obeying what you say. Please bless us, Father, that if we have not made Christ the Lord of our lives, that we finally would take that step. As best we can, we make these prayers to you, Father, in the name of your only begotten Son, our returning King Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is called Combating Victim Mentality. Victim mentality is something that gets talked about a lot, especially if you pay attention to, you know, the news. You see victim mentality everywhere. You've seen it in the colleges when they need safe spaces, coloring books and puppies. You see it most typically today in the streets, with everybody believing they're a victim of this person or that person. But before going on, there are actually three definitions for victim mentality that I personally really like. And so I want to read them real quick, just so we have an understanding of what victim mentality even is. All right, this first one says, victim mentality is an acquired personality trait, so it's not inherent to anyone. It's something you learn to do. So, victim mentality is an acquired personality trait in which a person tends to recognize or consider themselves as a victim of the negative actions of others, and to behave as if this were the case in the face of contrary evidence of such circumstances. So, that's a really wordy way of saying that victim mentality is when somebody considers themselves a victim of someone else's actions, even though evidence points to the contrary. So it's really I don't want to go so far as to call it a belief system, but it is a way of looking at the world in an extremely negative way. But it more demonizes the other person or the other group of people. So, and even when there's evidence to point to the contrary, the one with victim mentality will still continue to blame the other person or blame the other group. All right, the other definition that I wanted to go to is a really quick one. It says, victim mentality is the belief that one is always a victim, the idea that bad things will always happen to one. So, you know this mindset. You've either lived it or you are well acquainted with someone who lives like this. It's basically the belief that it doesn't matter what I do, something bad will always happen. Or it leads to that phobia where I'm afraid to be happy because every time I become happy, something bad always comes along to make me unhappy. That's a victim mentality. Now this third one says, victim mentality is a psychological term that refers to a type of dysfunctional mindset. I like that part. So let me start that again. Victim mentality is a psychological term that refers to a type of dysfunctional mindset which seeks to feel persecuted in order to gain attention or avoid self-responsibility. People who struggle with the victim mentality are convinced that life is not only beyond their control, but is out to deliberately hurt them. And so, in short, victim mentality is a dysfunctional way of thinking because it's constantly thinking, I'm the victim of this person. This person is always trying to hurt me. It's this person or these people are always out to get me. The world doesn't want me to be happy. It's always a way of being a victim. And the part that I particularly like personally about this definition was that one of the main end goals of having victim mentality is to avoid self-responsibility. Blaming someone else so we don't have to feel shame for the thing that we did, or to avoid responsibility altogether. There's no self-reflection with victim mentality. There's no self-responsibility because it's always someone else. It's always someone else's fault. And, you know, that, again, that idea that bad things will always happen to me. Therefore, I can't be happy, or I'm not going to pursue happiness. What's the point of searching after the holiness of God, and which leads to happiness, when happiness always leads to me being unhappy? So I might as well be negative, I might as well be unhappy, I might as well be sad, mad, I might as well be, you know, all these negative things, since that's where I'm going to end up anyway. You know, that's just victim mentality. And again, you see victim mentality running rampant through the streets today. Because, again, it's always somebody else's fault that I'm in the position I'm in right now. It's always this group of people. You even see it when it comes to something that's generally true. And I do mean generally, in a very broad sense, like, the government's doing this and that, therefore I'm going to be unhappy. It's their fault. Just because the government is doing some bad things doesn't mean that you're a victim of anything. All right, the government's going to do what the government does. But the question for us is, how do we combat victim mentality? How do we stay away from victim mentality? Well, in a general sense, the easiest way to stay away from from living according to victim mentality is to just pay attention to the truth. Is this person truly responsible for causing me to be unhappy? Is this person truly, did they have a gun to my head and say, you need to be miserable? Look at the evidence. In other words, look at the evidence. Am I truly a victim of this person, or am I making it up? Am I just demonizing this person or these people simply because it's what I've grown accustomed to? Is this person or are these people truly guilty, or are they just guilty in my own head? So paying attention to truth is by far the easiest way to combat victim mentality, because it forces us into a position of admitting that, okay, I was just upset. They didn't, you know, they're not actually responsible for anything. I just decided to blame them. You see this in relationships all the time, with husband and wife, friendships, boyfriend, girlfriend, parent, child, whatever the relationship. Oh, in the workplace, it happens too. Like, I didn't get this work done because of this person. Well, did they really cause it? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yes. But victim mentality can go so far as to say, oh, I know this person is going to ruin my work again. Like, no, you don't. You're just demonizing them. You're using a very wide brush to paint this person as somebody that's just going to ruin your life, basically. So paying attention to truth is by far the easiest way to stay out of victim mentality. But the problem is that takes honesty and humility. It takes a willingness to be wrong. It takes a willingness to admit that, okay, you didn't actually say this to me. You didn't actually do this to me. You are not responsible for me choosing to be miserable. That's all a decision that I've made, but, you know, I've decided to use you, to blame you for all my problems, basically. And you see this in racism, too, right? Oh, it's always this race's problem. You know, they've done this, they've done that. And so, me and my people are victims. So, victim mentality also causes division and causes hatred. Because when you're constantly blaming someone else for your problems, then eventually you learn to hate them. And that's a big problem. Because you never actually paint that person with a positive brush. You never are capable of seeing the positive things that they do. Because they're always to blame for your own unhappiness. So, victim mentality is something that's pretty gross because it really does take us away from the love that we're supposed to have. Now, mind you, I am talking about, like the definition said, a dysfunctional mindset which constantly tries to be the victim. A dysfunctional mindset that is ready, eager, and willing to blame someone else for their problems. I'm not talking about the cases where we are actually a victim of somebody. Where they, you know, you can't just make up the punch that came across your face. Right? That is you being an actual victim. Or it's not dysfunctional to say that this person came up to my face and started screaming at me and said that I'm this, I'm that. No, that person actually did those things. The dysfunctional victim mentality mindset just kind of makes it up. Or uses the tiniest shreds of basically non-existent evidence to blame someone else for their problems. So how do we combat this? Well, like I said, the easiest way is to pay attention to the truth. And in that regard, we can remind ourselves that God is trustworthy. That, just in a general sense, that God is trustworthy. Let's go real quick to 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12 say, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." The key part here is, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Well, there are times when suffering happens. It's part of life. But we don't have to suffer unnecessarily. If there is somebody that's causing us suffering, then that's different than just saying it, than just making it up, or just pulling lies out of thin air just to blame someone else. You know, do you see that with racism? You see that with blaming an entire race of people for what, you know, one, two, even a whole bunch of people did. It still doesn't mean that every single person is wrong. It still doesn't mean that every single person of that race did something wrong to me. It means these individuals did. So suffering is going to be part of life. But the question is, are you suffering out of necessity? Are you suffering in a justifiable way? Or have you chosen to be a victim and you're suffering in an unnecessary manner? But even with that, even though suffering is going to be part of life, there are blessings to be had with it. Like it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. I mean, Jesus suffered, so it's no mystery that we will too. And so just as Jesus was glorified, I mean, in the end, those of us who suffer and, you know, take it patiently and endure to the end, yeah, we'll go to heaven too. Or how about Psalm 147? Psalm 147, verses 5 and 6. Again, Psalm 147, verses 5 and 6. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. So let's read that again. Psalm 147, verses 5 and 6. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. So he understands our problems and how to deliver us. That's why it's so easy to trust him. Because Jesus is not some distant God who is totally detached from our sufferings. No, he lived in the exact same flesh that we carry today. The temptations he went through are the temptations we still go through. The pains he suffered are the pains that we suffer. The difference between him and us is that he remained sinless through it all. He never considered himself a victim, even though he truly was a victim. The only truly innocent person to ever live in all of human history was 100% a victim and was undeserving of all the punishments, all of the horrendous things that he had to suffer through. He was truly innocent. Not one of us can say that. So he knows suffering beyond what we could even imagine. And so we can trust that even in our darkest times, if we go to him, that he will understand. It's not just because his understanding is infinite. It's because he lived it. He went through all of the sufferings you think are, you know, pushing you down into the ground. He went through it all. There's nothing that any of us have suffered through or will ever suffer through that can ever compare to his suffering. And yet he still made it through because he had his eyes focused on the Father. And that should teach us a lot, where our focus needs to be. Jesus, if he considered himself a victim, he would have never been able to pray for his enemies as they were beating him, whipping him, humiliating him, crucifying him, and murdering him. If he maintained a mindset of being a victim, then he would have never been that perfect sacrifice because his mind would have gone to other places. But since he was entirely focused on the Father, then it was easy. So it's very simple to trust in God. It's very simple to remind ourselves that God is trustworthy because he knows firsthand our problems. But beyond that, he knows how to deliver us out of our problems. It's no big thing for him. It's very easy for him to take us away from our troubles. And so we can trust in him. What is another way to combat victim mentality? Well, again, the underlying theme behind every one of these methods of combating victim mentality is to focus on the truth, right? That's why I said it in the beginning, is to focus on the truth. So it's the truth that God is trustworthy. And in this second one, it's the truth that we ought to ponder and dwell upon Bible verses related to our specific problem. Because the Bible runs the gamut of everything we have ever experienced or will ever experience. The Bible gives us all of the information we could possibly need on how to experience something difficult and come out the other end stronger and definitely not a victim. So we need to ponder and dwell upon Bible verses related to our specific problem. Well, some of you may say, well, how am I supposed to know what Bible verses apply to my specific problem? Well, read it. You'll come across them. Study the Bible. You'll come across those verses. I've noticed that the only people, just in my experience, I've noticed that the only people who ever say the Bible doesn't talk about my problem are also the same people who never really, really read their Bible with the honest intent of understanding what it says. Think of the atheist who's read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They never read it with the honest intent of understanding it. They read it with the intent of trying to disprove the Bible. So of course they're not going to have understanding. They're not going to see that the Bible speaks about their specific problems or how to come or how to make it through their problems, how to overcome, basically. They read the Bible with the intention of disproving it. Well, Christians can and do read the Bible every day with no intent on actually learning from it. Or they read the Bible from the point of view that the Bible can't help me anyway. They're just words. They're good words, but they don't help me. And that's what a victim, that's what someone with a victim mentality does. Even the word of truth, the word of, you know, the eternal word of truth isn't good enough for them. So they're going to be perpetually miserable. But to combat victim mentality, pondering, like letting our minds be entirely focused on the Bible and what the Bible says, that you'll notice that just by doing that, God can and will release you from the misery you're in. If you're honestly focusing your mind, not trying to distract yourself with the worldly things. And that's the problem. In life, we learn how to comfort ourselves through distraction. Like for me, in the past, I would distract myself from life's problems by going to my safety blanket, which was my car, or to video games. I would go to watching movies. I would go to watching TV. I would go to listening to loud music. And those are the things, if you throw in there drugs, like smoking, drinking, and other forms of drugs, especially marijuana, since that's become legalized. Many people turn to marijuana just to distract themselves from their problems, but it can be anything. Immediately going to the comfort of plants, or animals, or houses, or again, cars, or money. You know, we learn to falsely cope with our problems by going to worldly things, by setting our focus, setting our minds upon worldly things, and especially setting our hearts upon worldly things. And you notice that the comfort never really lasts. It may for a moment, but then we're miserable like an hour later, or even a day later, because it was a false comfort to begin with. So dwelling upon the Bible, you'll notice it not only always works, but you notice yourself becoming less and less miserable as you focus more and more on the Bible, and you no longer consider yourself a victim. Because just like Jesus focused 100% of his effort upon the Father, if we do the same, then yeah, nothing breaks us down, nothing works against us, nothing really has the power to cast us down. Here's a piece of evidence for that. Look at the difference between people who trust in God and people who don't when it comes to the subject of the end times, or that the world is going to end and Jesus is going to return. For those who have been blessed to trust in the Lord, that's not a scary subject. In fact, it's a happy subject to know that evil will be destroyed and Jesus will come to gather his people. That's a good thing. That's why you don't see that fear amongst the people who love and trust in the Lord. They've spent their times, their days, not just reading the Bible, not just studying it, but thinking about the Bible, pondering and dwelling upon the Bible. And Jesus, God will truly take away that fear. And so let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 say, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So scripture is everything we need to know how to get through the problems of life. It's everything we need. Quite literally, you will receive no greater instruction on how to combat your problems except through the Bible. You'll receive no greater advice, no greater instruction except through the Bible. Because nothing really works, because only God can heal the brokenness in each of our hearts. So the Bible is absolutely perfect, because the God who knows all things, whose understanding is infinite, also understands each of our hearts. And he knows exactly how to fix them. And so if we don't trust in him, then you notice that your heart never really heals. Okay, so what does that look like for the heart that never really heals? Holding a grudge. That is perfect evidence of a still broken heart, but a willingly broken heart. Because holding a grudge is totally unnecessary and 100% up to us to let go. You really have to, like, allow a grudge to continue in your own heart. It's not something that's automatic. It's something that's chosen. And so when we turn to scriptures, when we turn to the Lord, you notice that you don't hold a grudge. It doesn't affect you. And let's go to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Let's read this again. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Let's take it verse by verse. All right, so the first one. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So if you have friends or family, if you have colleagues, or anyone in your life that gives you ungodly, unbiblical advice, or counsels you in ways that run contrary to the Bible, then you shouldn't keep company with them. They're counseling you in the ways of evil. But this goes on, "nor standeth in the way of sinners," so you don't walk according to how other sinners walk. It says, "nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So, you know the scornful. The scornful are basically the others with victim mentality. Everything they see is some shade of the way they view the world is that the world is to one degree or another horrible. And they live their life according to that. You show them something great and they turn it into something gross. And I don't mean like once or twice, because somebody can just be in a bad mood. But like consistently. They can't see the happiness you try and give them. They can't see the goodness or anything. And so they're just like perpetually miserable. That's sitting in the seat of the scornful. They just have something bad. It's something bad to say or something bad to believe. You know what I'm talking about. But then in verse 2, "but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So we're blessed if we take delight in the things that God has said. If we think about and dwell upon not just the law, not just the Ten Commandments, but the Bible as a whole, then we are simply blessed for that. And this is, again, I've said this in the past couple sermons, this is why Satan causes us to be so busy. Because then our minds are taken up with, I need to do this, I need to do that, this needs my attention, that needs my attention. And the whole time we're so busy with the things of life, we never actually take the time to pay attention to our relationships with God. And then we end up miserable and don't know why. And so when it comes to combating victim mentality, as it says in Psalm 1, 1 and 2, this is why the solution which we see as believers is different from what the disobedient see. I mean, seriously, ask somebody who's of the world how to deal with problems. They'll say, all right, well, what do you like to do? Right? So it starts off with something that's obviously well-intentioned and kind. What do you like to do? What makes you happy? Go do that. That's contrary to what the Bible actually says. The Bible says, put your focus on God. Pray. Read the Word. Dwell upon the things which you read. And the Lord will set you free. Cast all your anxieties, all your burdens at the feet of the Lord, and He will set you free. His truth will set you free. So no matter how well-intentioned the ungodly are, they're still giving terrible advice. And it doesn't even have to be from another person. It can just exist from the whisperings of the demons in your ear, saying, oh, well, this always comforts you when you feel stressed. Go do that. Or this thing always made you happy in the past. Go do that. You're stressed out. You're feeling bad right now. So go do that thing. But you notice in none of the advice which exists inside of our head, nor comes from the ungodly company that we keep, you never actually hear, go read your Bible. Go pray. Go to the only one who can heal your broken heart. And that's why it's so easy to just wave. It's so easy to wave the hand at somebody who's saying, turn to God so He can cast away those demons. It doesn't make sense to those who haven't learned to trust in Him. Because they say, no. I know what makes me happy. I know where I get my comfort. And then you try and tell them, no, you're being oppressed by demons. Only God can take that away. It's just kind of like, pish posh to those types of people. Because it doesn't make sense to them. There's got to be something else. But like, no, there doesn't. It's just demonic. And only God can take that away. And unless you turn to Him, those demons are going to persist in your life. But they don't want to hear that. The one who lives in victim mentality doesn't want to hear that kind of truth. They want to hear, what makes you happy? Go do that. Because it's all about happiness, not holiness, right? It's about receiving false comfort, not real comfort. The quick fix, not the long-term sort of fix that actually, you know, benefits your entire life and those people around you. And it's really unfortunate. So the solutions which we see to the problems of life often run contrary from what the solutions of the disobedient are. And you notice it's in fact extremely simple to know if somebody's giving you godly advice or not. Is what the person's saying in the Bible? If it's not, then it's not godly advice. It can be that simple. Or if the person who's trying to give you advice is telling you how to be happy instead of how to grow in the Lord, which eventually leads to an eternity of happiness, then they're not giving you sound advice. They're trying to give you the quick comfort, not the long-term thing. And so another way to combat victim mentality is simply just to focus on the positive. And again, I'm not necessarily talking about those times when we're just, you know, in a bad mood and things seem negative. Because all of us who have learned to trust in the Lord, we know that, all right, I shouldn't have been thinking that way or anything, please forgive me, Lord. And then He simply causes us to be in a better mood. No, I'm talking about those who are perpetually victims. unceasing victims. It's just always sad, constantly miserable about something. It's beneficial for everyone to constantly concentrate on the positives, but especially if we see in ourselves being grudging or bitter or miserable more and more of the time, or if we just kind of live through the day that way, it's important to focus on the positive. And we're told this in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9 say, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And then verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." So it's not just concentrating on the positive things. It's living according to them. And then you see that that Paul says, "The God of peace shall be with you." So focusing on the positive can also be correcting the negative. Because, listen, there's a very fine line here where you can fall into self-delusion. Where the situation actually needs to be corrected rather than accepted. But that takes a great deal of discernment. That takes understanding of quite a bit. So just be aware. Not everything requires acceptance. Sometimes it needs to simply be thrown out of our lives. Sometimes it requires us to move beyond the thing, not just blindly accepting it into our lives. Because okay, here's an example. In the Bible, I can't remember who it was. You know, he made a vow, "Lord, if you get us through this, I promise that the first thing I see through my door, I will sacrifice that to you." And so, because God got him through the circumstance, he went home and his only daughter answered the door. He's like, "All right, I guess I need to sacrifice my daughter." No, he should have never accepted that. Because God himself did not accept that vow. He didn't accept that promise. So God was going to get him through regardless, but that didn't justify him killing his daughter. And so if we've made a promise or done something that, like, making a promise to God isn't necessarily a bad thing, especially when you look in the Old Testament. I mean, we shouldn't do it. We should just obey what God says. What I'm saying is that what that man should have done was not accept the fact that he made an ungodly promise to a perfect God. He should have said, "Oh, you know, I can't do this. I've said something I shouldn't have," and just walked away from it. Instead of just accepting, "All right, this is what I have to do, murder." So, not everything in our lives requires us to simply accept it. The lesson may be in, "All right, you took this thing into your life, but you never should have, so it's time to get rid of it." It all depends. That depends on what it is, it depends on what God has said, and so focusing on the positive, remember, the most positive thing, depending, the most positive thing can be, how do I go beyond this? So, yeah, that one can be a little tricky, but it's generally not. Just focus on what God says, and if you make If you make a mistake in judgment, all right, repent of it, then fix it. Watch how he blesses you after that. By being able to admit that this thing, even though it's good, doesn't belong in my life, then it'll bless you for correcting the mistake. You see this in business too. A lot of more mature Christians have tried to start businesses just to see those businesses fail. Was it evil of them to start a business? No. But it wasn't what God wanted for them. So there are good things in the world that simply don't belong in our life. Just because something is good doesn't mean it's for us. There may be a different path. And God won't allow the thing to prosper if he never meant for it to be in our path. That's why you see mature Christians being able to look back in their life and saying, oh, that's why that business failed. The Lord didn't want me to go that way. The business itself wasn't wrong. It just wasn't for them. God had a different plan for them, a different path for them to walk. So there's even positivity in the things which fail. It means God had bigger plans. Another way to combat victim mentality is to lock negative thoughts away. Like, as soon as they come in, shut them out. In 2 Corinthians 10:5. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This last part where it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, only allowing those things into our minds which leads to a greater amount of obedience, just like Christ. Regardless of what we personally think or feel, grabbing hold on and not letting go of the type of obedience which he himself showed. So bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. His obedience was total and complete. Ours will falter here and there, but it will improve. It will continually improve because we think of things in the way Christ thinks of things. What about the rest of the verse, though? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. All right, so all those things which enter our minds, all those beliefs which enter our hearts, which run contrary to the Bible, casting those things out and only grabbing hold on those things, as it says here, bringing into captivity or capturing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, how do we do this? How do we know which thoughts are the thoughts that we should cast out? And how do we know which thoughts are the thoughts that we should keep and hold on to? Well, it's quite simple. In 1 John 4:1, in 1 John 4:1 it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So, as far as it said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting away all imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, any thought, any belief, any piece of advice or counsel or instruction which goes against obedience is going to be something which comes from the devil. 100% of the time. If a thought enters our minds to disrespect the police officer which has pulled us over or who has come to our house, any thought or belief which has us disrespecting them in any way is a thought that comes from Satan. Or how about this one? Any thought of our heads to make fun of the president or to talk trash about him, that comes from the devil, because that's disrespecting the authority that's above us. And when it comes to a world leader, you're talking about somebody who's been directly anointed by God himself. So you're not just making fun of some guy with dementia. You're making fun of, you know, somebody whom God has placed in office. Now, it's totally different if you're speaking something truthful. Right? Because it's unfortunately the case that President Biden has made some, you know, very terrible decisions, which in fact go right along with biblical prophecy. So everything he's doing is, you know, he was always meant to do these things. But there are still decisions which, you know, they're bad in the long run. So speaking the truth about what he's done without making fun of him is fine. So all negative thoughts need to be locked away. And we need to concentrate on those thoughts which bring us into a greater amount of obedience. And this is why, even though tons of parents out there have problems with it, teaching children the ways of the Bible is seen as like something bad in the world, which is totally silly. But teaching them what to do according to what the Bible says is effective. It works. And those who have negative thoughts toward the way that God says we ought to live and raise our children, and the thoughts about how we're supposed to live these lives ourselves, all of that is good, so long as it comes from the Bible. We just have to discern whether a thought is from God or not. And a lot of the times, it's very easy. Because again, if something is leading you toward disobedience, then it's demonic. And it's not any more complicated than that. Because the obedience of Christ is how he set the example for us and how to live on and how to escape victim mentality. By seeing him as the perfect example, by seeing him who by definition is the perfect man, by looking at everything he did and seeing and understanding the fact that everything he did was because of his love toward the Father and his obedience toward the Father, then you see that if we are to be Christians, then obedience is just a way of life. So be mindful of the counsel you receive, whether it's from another person or from a thought that forms in your head. That thought is either going to be from God or it's going to be from Satan. So there was another part here that we were going to do, and it was just for combating victim mentality, and it's thank God for our blessings. But you can read it yourself. The passage I was going to give is in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 19. So thanking God for our blessings rather than focusing on what we don't have. Yeah, just read it yourself. It's in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 19. It's not the whole chapter, but it's close. So, victim mentality is entirely destructive because it constantly focuses on someone else being the problem. There's no self-responsibility there, no self-accountability, and it doesn't even have to be really in terms of blaming anyone in particular. But it can simply be the thought process that, what sort of horrible thing is going to happen to me today? Or, you know, I can't be happy because every time I'm happy, I become unhappy. Well, sorry, but welcome to life. I mean, there are ups and downs. But when that's just the way we think, then we've fallen into victim mentality, and it never ends up good. So, I hope and pray that everyone was blessed. And if you have any questions or anything, just let me know afterwards. But if you can kneel, please kneel. We're going to end in prayer. Father, thank you so much that you rescue us whenever we call on you. And if we ever find in ourselves the type of mind which says that you don't help us, then, Father, it's probably because we're not looking hard enough. So, Father, please bless us to see things as you see them, to see sin how you see it, and to see righteousness as you see it. And we pray that you would increase our faith and guide us ever closer to you. As best we can, we make these prayers to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.